Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We hope we're going to have Larry Pratt with us here in a few minutes. And if we don't, why, it'll just be open lines just between you and me. And you can call in. We'd be glad to talk to you about what's going on in the world today. But I'd like to perhaps tell you a little bit about my latest newsletter. I've been agonizing over this. I mean, we're just finishing up the May newsletter now. But I'm trying to put into perspective some means of understanding what really happened on September 11th. Now, most people think that they know what happened because, after all, they saw it on television, and they saw those planes hit the Twin Towers, and then they saw the towers come down over and over and over again. They saw the tear-stained faces of the survivors, and of course the tear-stained faces of the people who'd lost people there, and the emotions that were involved with that that drama. And it really was a drama, because before very long you began hearing the music in the background, and then of course we had the spectacular that following Saturday with Willie Brown, with Willie Nelson singing America over and over and over again, all the verses over and over and over again. We even had Sylvester Stallone and Clint Eastwood, and all of the Hollywood celebrities were there for the great Hollywood spectacular. And of course, flags broke out all across America. America was at war. But nobody really understands what happened that day. If you read the book that is written by Robert Byrd, it's called See No Evil. We recommend it very strongly. We carry the book because we want you to understand what he wrote. And in the preface, he said, you know, one of his friends had talked to one of the most highest-ranking CIA agents in the United States, who had told the reporter off the record, when the dust finally cleared after 9/11, the American people would realize that the terrorist attack of 9/11 was not a failure for the intelligence community, but a triumph. What happened on 9/11 wasn't a failure for the intelligence community. It was a triumph. Now, how could the death of 3,000 American people be a triumph? Unless, of course, it was intended to take us into the war. This new world war that is going to be fought to destroy, well, we think we're going to destroy Islam, but could it possibly be that we might lose this war? You know, war is a terrible thing. And there's only one worse thing than being in a war, and that's losing a war. And I really believe that people must understand, we're going to start the draft sometime next year. Are you ready for your sons and daughters to go off and fight, not to bring democracy to the Middle East, because we're not bringing democracy. We haven't installed a democratic government. The new man, the new head of this council, well, you know, he happened to work for the CIA beforehand. And you know what he's saying? Oh, we can't have the Americans leave. No, you've got to stay here and control the oil. And, oh, we're so dependent upon you. And then we hear about all these attacks on the oil lines and how everything is chaotic. But who's creating the chaos? Is it the terrorists? Or could we be allowing some of this to happen? Because, of course, we want an excuse to stay, because that's always been the plan. Well, if it's always been the plan, how would I prove it? And I'd like to suggest you go to their website, newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. Pull down Rebuilding America's Defenses, and that's page 14, and read it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And of course, we welcome your calls from out across America. And unfortunately, our regularly scheduled guest, Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, is not available. So it's just going to be you and me out there in the audience. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-2. By on this hour, it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And in my introductory remarks, which people just coming on board haven't heard, I talk about, do we really know what happened on the morning of September 11th? We think we know because we saw it on television. But did the government know ahead of time and not try to stop the attack? And I simply quoted from a book written by Robert Baer, who was the senior CIA official in Iraq in 1995. And he talks about, you know, how a friend of his had talked to one of the highest-ranking CIA officials in the United States, who told the friend, a reporter off the record, that when the dust finally clears after 9/11, the American people will realize that what happened in this 9/11 attack was not a failure of the intelligence agencies, but a triumph. Why was it a triumph? Well, I believe it was a triumph because on September 10th, the American people weren't ready to go to war. On September 12th, they were. If you read the staff report of the 9/11 Commission, they comment that, you know, there were only about a quarter of the people on those each one of those planes that there should have been. In other words, they would have had maybe 30 or 40 people on a plane that would ordinarily carry 200. So, and they comment that the terrorists didn't buy up the seats. Well, if the terrorists didn't buy up the seats, who did buy up the seats? It would be a very easy thing to find out who bought up the seats on those planes so that there wouldn't be so many people there, so it would be easier for the terrorists to take over the plane. There wouldn't be so many people to rush them or to be willing to sacrifice their lives. But, of course, nobody talks about that. Nobody wants to find out who it was in Europe who was shorting United Airlines and American Airlines stock. And they will tell you, well, we've checked out here in America, and it was just a perfectly normal thing. But it wasn't that in Europe, as the head of the central bank will say. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. How many times have you heard, well, the federal government, the intelligence agencies, the FBI had no idea who the terrorists were. They just came into this country and they just melted into the population. They shaved off their beards. They acted like everybody else. And we had no idea who they were until the morning of the attack. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? Because if you read the staff report, and it's up on the internet, but nobody wants to comment on it, if you read the staff report, you will find that 9 of the terrorists were on the terrorist watch list. Now, how could that be if we had no idea who they were? I just ask you, is that logical? Did the government know that they were going to use airplanes to attack our buildings? Well, of course they knew. I mean, back in the mid-1980s, they knew that the Ayatollah Khomeini was setting up camps in Iran to train terrorists to attack the infrastructure of the United States, and they trained tens of thousands of terrorists, many of whom were sent to Western cities, and they're still here waiting for orders to be given for the attack. And, of course, this was facilitated by changing our immigration laws back in 1965 so that we could allow people with different customs to come into our country in large numbers and of course, live here. People with different religions, a different worldview. Now, a lot of Muslims certainly want to be here. They just want the advantages of our society, but they can't embrace our culture because they come from a different culture. And when you begin mixing peoples of different culture, you destroy the culture of both cultures. And that was always been the intent of the wicked and evil people working behind the scenes. But in the mid-1980s, and this is contained in a book called Attack America in the West. It was written in 1993 by Joseph Badansky, who was the the director of the Republican task force, House task force, on terrorism and unconventional warfare, and he operates out of Washington, D.C. He's employed by the Republican Party to research terrorism, and he will tell you that in the mid-1980s, they had camps over there in Iran, where they actually had 727 and 707 aircraft, and they would actually teach the people there how to board the plane, how to take it over, and then, of course, how to have the pilots crash them into buildings. Now, of course, they didn't crash many planes into buildings. You can only do that one time. But this was the plan. They knew exactly what they were doing. Our government knew what they were doing. I even talked about how Iran Air would bring in 747s from time to time so they could practice on 747s. They would know exactly what to do. It was all carefully planned in the mid-1980s. And yet Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney, immediately after the attack, both said, whoever would have thought that they'd do something like that? It was in 1985 when a flight, I think it was TWA flight 857, was hijacked. And there, of course, it was hijacked over the Mediterranean. It flew back and forth between Algiers and Beirut for about 10 days, and they killed an American serviceman. But the real plan of the Islamic hijackers was to crash the plane into the Israeli Knesset, in other words, into the building, and kill everybody in the Knesset. But the fortunately, the flight plan, the flight crew thwarted the plan, but the flight engineer told the FBI and the CIA in 1985 that here again there was evidence, of course, that there was this plan to hijack planes and crash them into the buildings. So our government was well aware of that, and there was instance after instance where they, as is noted, it was, we know that in 1994, why a group of Islamic terrorists hijacked a plane in Algiers and flew it to Marseille, and they released some of the hostages in return for fuel. And when the gendarmes, the French police, questioned the hostages, they said, well, what they're going to do is they're going to fill the plane up with gasoline, they're going to fly it to Paris and crash it into the Eiffel Tower. So the gendarmes did what they were supposed to. They stormed the plane and they killed the hijackers. But our government knew in 1994 that was being planned. It was that same year that a disgruntled FedEx employee actually tried to hijack a plane because he wanted to crash it into a building. It was that year that some fellow who was a little mentally deranged crashed a small plane into the White House. It was in 1995 that over in the Philippines, in Manila, the Philippine police were able to capture a laptop computer. It was a computer that belonged to Ramzi Yousef, who was responsible for the first bombing on the World Trade Center. He had actually planned it, carried it out. It was financed by Osama bin Laden. Our government knew that. But Ramzi Yousef escaped capture, but they got his laptop computer. And on it, that was the plan. Well, there were two plans. They were called Operation Pachinko. One was to place bombs on 12 American airplanes that were flying over the Pacific Ocean simultaneously. They were all going to go off, and 12 American airplanes were going to go down simultaneously. But the other plan was to actually hijack American planes and here in the United States and cross them into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, the White House, the Sears Building in Chicago, and the Transamerica Building in San Francisco. Now, certainly they knew this, our government knew this, the FBI knew this, and how do we know that they knew it? Well, there's a man named Bill Gertz, and he works for the Washington Times. He's a very good reporter, but he gets all sorts of information from the CIA. That's how he's a star reporter. They leak information to him, and 2 months before the 9/11 attack, this was in July, on the Northwest Airline attendant's website, and we actually have copies of this, that there was a note that about Operation Pachinko, the plan to hijack American airliners and crash them into the World Trade Center, crash them into the White House and into the Pentagon, into the Sears Building in Chicago, and of course, to the Transamerica Building in San Francisco. So it was up on the website, and we pulled this down right after the attack. Now, the government denies this. In fact, Bill Gerst even denies he wrote the article. Immediately after the attack, the Washington Post sent four reporters over to the Philippines to track down the story of Operation Pachinko. And they came back and they said, yes, there really was a plan to hijack American planes and crash them into the CIA building in Langley. Now, how could four reporters miss the story? I mean, we have it from so many other sources. Peter Lance's wonderful book, it's entitled A Thousand Years for Revenge, and he's talked to the Philippine police officers who contacted the CIA and the FBI and let them know about this. So they knew there was a plan to fly planes into the World Trade Center. So why, when they knew that an attack was coming, did they focus overseas? When the Mossad had told us the attack was going to be here, Putin told us the attack was going to be here, German intelligence told us the attack was going to be here, Jordanian intelligence told us the attack was going to be here, it was one of the other countries over there that had told us the attack was going to be here, and the FBI kept insisting it was going to be overseas. It was in April of the year 2000. And this has come out recently in the last couple of weeks. But, of course, it should have come out a long time ago because on September 18th of the year 2002, Eleanor Hill testified before the Joint House Select Committee on Intelligence. And, of course, that was the initial committee that investigated the 9/11 attack over the objection of the Bush administration. And if there's nothing to hide, why did they do everything they could to hide it? And why did the controlled media suppress what Eleanor Hill said that day? Because she told of time after time after time, the intelligence committees knew there were plans to hijack our planes and crash them into buildings. And one of the best stories was in April of the year 2000, a Pakistani Arab from England, he lived in London, but he walked into the Newark office of the FBI and he said, I am part of a team of hijackers who are going to hijack airplanes and blow them up. And I've been trained in how to do this. I've been to Pakistan. They gave me a lot of money. And I'm thoroughly trained. I'm to meet six or seven other people here. And we're going to hijack airplanes. And he didn't say fly them into buildings. He just said, and blow them up. So the Newark office of the FBI actually gave him a couple of lie detector tests. He passed the lie detector test. They reported this to Washington, D.C., and you'd never guess what the headquarters of the FBI there said. Why forget what he's told you and send him back to England? At least that's what it said on a recent KSBW television report. But all the rest of the report we have off the internet, or we have it in Eleanor Hill's excellent testimony, and we can make that testimony available to any of you who'd like to see it. That was September 18th of the year 2002. How did they keep it a secret after that? Why, they control the media. They control, in essence, what the American people think. So they knew the attack was coming, and they knew it was coming on September 11th. If you get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's wonderful little book called Cover Up, which we do carry, why, he tells there about a boy, a Pakistani boy, in a classroom in New York City, not too far from the World Trade Center. And about a week before the September 11th attack, he points out the window to everybody and tells everybody in the class that a week from now, those buildings won't be there. By September 11th, children all across that part of town were bringing their cameras to school so that they could take pictures of the Twin Towers coming down. The story was researched by a reporter in New York, and of course, the police had actually checked the story out, and it was hard to tell where the story came from because everybody knew about it, and yet the government had no idea what was going to happen. Except, of course, somebody told Willie Brown, Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco, called him the night before and said, be very careful flying tomorrow. There is a security alert that we're afraid the big one is coming down, something to that effect. Anyway, I actually talked to Willie Brown's press secretary, who confirmed the story was true. But the most amazing thing about that story is that somebody put pressure on the Chronicle and had the article pulled out of all of the other editions of the paper for that day, the 12th of September, and somebody pulled it down off the internet. Who do you think is powerful enough to do that? And we'll be talking more about that when we get back. But or give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to remind you about the fact that we do carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't, of course, make any medical claims for them. We can only tell you that a lot of people that use them tell us that they do wonderful things for them, and some people say it helps their rashes, and some people say it helps their acne, at least their children's acne, and there are people who tell us the neutralizer, which is a very alkaline solution, helps their upper intestinal tract and their heartburn, and others say that it seems to help their lower intestinals. All we can do is suggest that you try them. I wouldn't be without my moisturizing soap because it really does soften the skin and does away with a lot of the harsh scaling of the skin. I think you'll be pleased with it. And I wouldn't be without the gel because I know I've had a rash that's really helped me. But you're going to have to find out if these things will help you. There is a soap and a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion, and a gel. Why not give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and try Miracle 2 products. Okay, Dr. Stan back here, and of course it's open lines, and Dave's in Illinois. We'll be with him in just a moment, but I wanted to just finish up what we were saying and remind you our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we know that there are people in the Defense Department who cancel their flights on the 11th of September, for the 11th of September, the day before. Now, articles appeared in the Newsweek magazine, I believe both the 13th and the 24th of September. Dr. Cuddy has copies of it, and he sent them to me. And that's what it says. Members of the Defense Department cancel their flights for the 11th of September, the day before. And when Dr. Cuddy has called the people at Newsweek magazine, they won't talk about it. In fact, he talked to the editor of Newsweek, who said, Oh, well, you know, the Congress is investigating that. They'll get to the bottom of it. And then I said, well, I don't care what Congress is doing. You wouldn't have published that article without checking it out carefully. Who were these people in the Defense Department? He said, well, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And Dennis said, I didn't say anything about a conspiracy. I just asked, who were these people in the Defense Department who canceled their flights for the 11th of September? And the editor of Newsmake magazine said, I don't want to talk about it. And I, of course, I could not say that he was been approached and threatened by the CIA, but, well, this is the sort of thing that happens. Sybil Edmonds worked for the FBI, and, of course, she translated all the messages that had come in before the attack, and she says that they knew ahead of time what was going to happen, but she's been threatened with fines and imprisonment and putting her in jail and throwing away the key. If she ever publicly says what she knows, she testified in private before the 911 commission, but, of course, they would never ask her to go public. And, of course, they've interviewed almost 1,000 people, is my understanding, and all those records will be sealed forever if there's nothing to conceal. Why are they concealing it? Let's go to Dave calling in from Illinois. Hi, Dave. How are you listening to us, on shortwave or Internet?
Shortwave.
Okay, fine. How is it coming in?
Pretty good. Pretty good today.
Is it any better than it was?
You know, those bands have been up and down for months, Dr. Stan. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but it's pretty good tonight.
All right, fine. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. A couple points I want to make. You've been talking about the prior knowledge of 9/11, and, you know, you've talked about it, Alex Jones has talked about it, the New American Magazine has had excellent articles about it. I mean, I am convinced that they had all kinds of prior knowledge and nothing was done, and here's what worries me, Dr. Stan. There obviously is a very sinister degree of corruption in government right now, incredible corruption. And there's two famous quotes that worry me. One of them is, you know, one of our founding fathers said that, you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, okay? And also another famous quote is, when good men do nothing, evil prospers. You've used that before, okay? And the last one is, I'm not sure who said this, but it may have not been an American that said this, but some knowledgeable person one time said that when you have a nation of people who wish to be ignorant and free, they want something that can never be.
That was Thomas Jefferson.
Pardon me? Okay. So what I'm getting at is there's such a... And, of course, our media is totally to blame for this. Totally. Shame on them. Totally blame for this. But, you know, there is such a level of ignorance among the general public out there. And if this ignorance is not fixed, that worries me that our country is just really going to suffer big time. Because people, they don't have a clue, and they don't seem to care.
All right, fine. Well, I think the one thing that we have to recognize is the fact that we're better off than we've ever been before. We have alternative radio. We have the Internet. And your job is to try to get people to think. I can only reach so many people 5 hours a day behind a microphone, but you can reach a number of people. And don't get discouraged when some of them don't want to hear. All you have to do is tell them, how do you feel about having your sons and daughters drafted to go overseas to fight in a contrived war? How do you feel about them sending all of our jobs overseas or our industries overseas or destroying the value of the American dollar because they want to redistribute the wealth of the world, at least our wealth, certainly not their wealth? And all you have to do is raise some of these questions, and then when they ask you questions, you give them the source of reference, and then get them listening to our programs. Maybe you can't convince them. Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. I believe there's a spiritual blindness out there. Our job, Dave, is to tell the truth, to be the watchman on the wall. And remember, a duty is ours, but the results are the Lord's.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, as I see here in Illinois, so many people just don't want to hear it at all.
Okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But you keep telling them, and then when somebody else will tell them, and then they'll read something in the paper, and then somebody else will tell them again, one of these days people are going to wake up. I just hope to wake up in time. Don't get discouraged. They're trying to give you the idea. They're trying to demoralize us, discourage us, disillusion us. But if you put your faith in the Lord, you're not going to. We're going to continue. We have to persevere. We are the watchman on the wall. And I hope you'll join us and keep there. Bye-bye. Thanks so much, Dave.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to mention that we do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water products, and we think they're great. We think we're moving into uncertain times, and we think that you really ought to have something like this on hand. If for no other reason that you want to get the good-tasting water, of course, if you're in an area that they have fluoride in the water, you really want to get the fluoride out, because, of course, it will attack your endocrine system. It decreases fertility. It creates bone tumors. It dulls down your mind. What's the active ingredient in Prozac? It's a fluoride compound, and they know that. They just don't want you to know that they're poisoning you and your children. Well, anyway, the Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel, filters 24 gallons a day, stands about 30 inches high. It's quite attractive. And, of course, water goes in the top, goes through ceramic filters, comes out the bottom, and you remove most of the herbicides and pesticides and the bad things. If you need to get the fluoride, arsenic, and lead out, you need some post filters, but they're available. The Big Berkey is $279 plus $10 shipping, and it's been around for 150 years. Now, it's available in every state in the Union except California and Iowa. However, you can get the Berkey Light here. That's made out of Lexan. That's what we have. And, of course, you can then see the water level, which is an advantage. The filters are black Berkey filters. They're much more efficient than the ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. But the Berkey Light does a great job. We call it a water purifier rather than the water filters. And, of course, you can get the post filters for the fluoride that goes with that. So if you'd like to get that, that's $199. It's a lot cheaper, but you do have to replace the filters every couple of years. Let me suggest you look at our website at RadioLiberty.com. If you buy them through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video we produced. And our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV. War. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Ben on the line. Hi, Ben from Salinas. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. And thank you for your diligence in fighting for our country, as many of us good Americans are trying to do. In the bird situation, I've listened to many comments by medical and the forensic experts. We did not witness a beheading because there was not near enough blood. When you behead someone like that, you're literally floating in blood. Remember the Tale of Two Cities when they described how much blood comes out in a beheading. So this guy was a whistleblower, and he was a black ops worker, according to what the internet is saying, and that he traveled in some black ops circles, and he knew too much and was a whistleblower, so they had to get rid of him and turn the attention away from the abuse in the prisons, and we still don't know what's going on at Guantanamo. Point number two, Condoleezza Rice is the one that told Willie Brown not to fly. That has been verified in the media by Newsweek and UPI.
Now, can you get me the article?
Certainly will.
Because I'd really love to see that.
And it was verified, and I will get you the proof. And number three, and I want all Americans to listen close to me, please, in the time of mourning for Mr. Reagan. Do you think Tenet will live long enough to tell what he really, really knows about 9/11?
Well, if he's thinking of doing that, he'll probably go on a canoe trip like Colby did.
There you go. And they never did find his body, did they?
No, they actually found his body.
Oh, they did?
Here's this man who, is cooking dinner and suddenly leaves everything on the stove and goes out in his canoe in the middle of a storm and is just drowned while he's writing memoirs going to tell the truth.
I remember, sir. And thank you for your diligence and for... I don't mind dying for this country, but at least let's die knowing the truth. That's all I say, sir.
God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'll just comment briefly on what Ben had said. And I would ask you, those people listening out across America, how many Islamic terrorist groups do you know that keeps these orange jumpsuits like they use at Guantanamo on hand just in case they happen to catch an American? Do you remember those pictures of Berg that we're told it was Berg? Can't really see very much about him, but we're told it was Berg, and he's there in this jumpsuit. And then, of course, as Ben says, you know, they behead him. You saw it on television. You know what happened, but there wasn't any blood. How did that happen? Well, some people have suggested, and I rather think it's true, that Berg was dead ahead of time. Now, how many people do you know who are going over into Iraq today and standing there, months there, setting up a communication network? Do you really believe that story? Well, and then, of course, the reason that the FBI was monitoring him was because he had... on Zacharias Massoui's computer, they found the password for Berg's computer. And the story was this, that Berg was just happened to be sitting on a bus one day in Oklahoma. And, of course, why Zacharias Massoui just happens to come and sit down next to him. And Zacharias says, gee, my computer isn't working, my laptop computer. So would you mind if I used your computer? What's the password to it? And, of course, Berg tells him the password, and that's how somehow or other that password I got onto Zacharias Massoui's computer. Do you really believe that story? Do you really believe that this man was just traveling all over the Middle East? You know, where was he getting the money for his travels, and how was he able to move around in a war zone? And if you believe this, you probably believe anything. I was approached one time to work for the CIA a long time ago, I guess, 42 years ago. And, you know, once you get working for them, why, the smartest thing I ever did was give the wrong answers when they approached me. And I will tell you that one of the things they said was, would you be able to see your son and daughter killed and would you be able to remain silent if they were going to kill your wife and children? And I said, no. I guess that was the wrong question, because they never pursued it any further. What did they want me to do? They wanted me simply to go to cocktail parties. I was a young doctor at the time, you know, and go to cocktail parties, move around in the community, and then you bring us regular reports, and we'll pay you for that. And they're doing that all across America. They're violating the law, but they don't care about the law, because there's a very dark and sinister force working within the CIA. You've probably heard about the contract agents that were working at Abu Ghraib prison, and they were the interrogators. In fact, many people suggest that they were the ones who were giving the instructions to the MPs and ordering them to beat and humiliate and degrade the employees to soften them up. But obviously these people were given orders to do what they did. Those pictures you saw were staged pictures. Why were they taken? And, of course, who were these contract agents that were there? Why, they were CIA. This is all CIA operations. The CIA is really running the war over there. They don't want to tell the American people that. Just as the CIA ran the Afghan war, just as the CIA ran the war in Vietnam. And if you've never gone into the background of Operation Phoenix, I mean, we're horrified by what those pictures we saw about Abu Ghraib prison, but, you know, you shouldn't study Operation Phoenix. They killed 40,000 people over there. They tortured them to death. And I've talked to people who worked for Phoenix, and, of course, they excused it. A lot of them excused it because we were at war and American boys were dying, and the other side was ruthless, and you had to be ruthless. The trouble was, we were financing the North Vietnamese during the whole time. It was a scam. It was a put on to distract us from the fact that the Supreme Court was taking God and prayer out of our schools. They were centralizing all power in Washington, D.C. They were socializing America. They were bringing in the Great Society. They were finding that a woman had a right to kill her unborn child. That was Roe versus Wade, all during the Vietnam War. A wonderful scam to distract our attention. And as a young man went overseas to fight for freedom, why we're losing our freedom here at home. If you have not seen my video, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or read the book, which we still have a few copies of, Professor Sutton's book, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, it includes his testimony before the Republican National Convention in 1972, where he pointed out how we were financing the North Vietnamese. And, of course, when Professor Sutton returned to the Hoover Institute, that great paragon of conservatism and Americanism, why his name was gone from the door of his office. His telephone was disconnected. That's how it really happens. Well, we've got somebody here who's calling in. I believe it's Marilyn calling in about the meeting of the on the Constitution Party. Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm fine. And I'm planning to go, actually.
Oh no. Where is this meeting?
It starts the 22nd or the 23rd of June, quite soon, in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And it's going to be it's the nominating convention for Mr. Petrutka. I need to know how to say that.
Mr. Perutka. P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A. Michael Perutka.
Perutka.
Right. Don't feel bad. It's a real tongue twister.
Well, it would be nice if it were four letters, like some of the others.
Well, you know, Chris, the trouble is that they've got a website. It's Perutka 2004, and most people can't, pronounce Perutka. I would have it Freedom 2004, or, you know, Free 2004, something people can remember. But Michael is a wonderful person, and I know him personally, and certainly I wish he was getting some coverage, but you wouldn't expect the controlled media to mention him. He's probably going to be on 30 to 40 state ballots. Ralph Nader's probably not going to be on more than 7 or 8, and yet the media is fawning over Ralph Nader and talking about Ralph Nader, and the only reason he's going to be on any ballots at all is because the Reform Party, actually endorsed him, but Perutka is a true American. He's a God-fearing man, and I wish I could be back there with you. Anyway, how can people learn about the meeting if they'd like to go?
It's going to be, you can get the website of the Constitution Party, and that'll tell you all about it.
Right, what is the website for the Constitution Party?
U.S. Constitution Party, or just Constitution Party.
All right, Constitution Party, and go to the website, get the information.
Yes, and it's going to be in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and they're going to have a lot of wonderful patriotic things happening. And I'm taking my grandson so he can get a little history and culture, which he's not getting in public school, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I think that if we could get back to the Constitution, why, we could save America. If we could let the American people understand the Constitution and that the members of the Supreme Court are violating their oath of office and they should be impeached. And I think that with one or two exceptions, they all ought to be impeached. In fact, anybody who talks about, you know, looking at the European Union or the United Nations charters to determine American law, when they've sworn an oath to uphold our Constitution, and I'm talking about, a lot of these people were actually nominated by Republican presidents, so when the subject comes up, well, you have to vote for the Republican Party, because if you don't, why, we won't be able to change the Supreme Court. Let me simply point out that 7 of the current Supreme Court justices were nominated by Republican presidents. What does that suggest to you? Maybe it really doesn't make a dime's worth of difference. Maybe we ought to try something different. Maybe we ought to have the courage to vote not for the lesser of the evils, but for a man who's righteous and upright. Anything else, Marilyn?
Well, no, I just wanted to say that. And, of course, I agree with you on the 9/11, but, of course, I get a lot of my information from you, certainly not too many other ways.
Well, whereabouts do you live?
In Sacramento.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much, and I wish I could be there with you. I unfortunately can't. It's hard for me to get away, but anyway, you have my proxy, okay?
Well, yes, I hope so.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, let's go to Maria in New York, listening to the Sunshine Network up there. How are you, Maria?
Oh, very well, thank you, Dr. Stan. What an honor to speak to you. I've been listening to you for many years, never called. I'm sorry about that. It's just that I am not as talented as the other callers. I am not as well-versed or articulate. And
you're doing fine.
So far.
Well, what is it like to say? Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question. I hope it's not silly, but I'm disabled, and I'm going to have to, this year, vote I got nervous. By absentee ballot.
Right.
And with all this business about the voting being rigged, what if the people who know what's going on, that are well-informed, like those who listen to your program, what if everyone, since paper ballots, I'm sorry, see, I told you I wasn't articulate, since they're saying that paper ballots are the best way to go, why, or is it a good idea to vote absentee ballot? That way there will be paper ballots.
Well, at least there'll be a record of how you voted, and I very often will vote absentee. So I think it's a great idea, but I think that we need to let people know that they cannot trust the electronic machines, and they better have their people there at the polls to make sure that those ballots are taken care of and they don't disappear on the way back to the central place. And we always want to have paper ballots. You can never trust the voting machines, or at least the electronic voting machines. So but go ahead, vote absentee. I think that's great.
Well, okay. I just thought, you know, if nothing is done by that time, I thought...
Well, I think that I just hope that everything will go well, at least through November. But we're just going to have to wait and see. Our job, Maria, is to educate people. And we just have to keep talking and talking and trying to get people to think it. And the biggest thing you can do is not vote, although I certainly want you to vote. And I hope that you'll vote for a man who stands for America and for our Constitution rather than Tweedledum or Tweedledee. I mean, which Skull and Bones candidate party do you want? But that's going to be your decision. The important thing is you help us educate people. You get them listening to our programs and getting our material and circulating it in you. I have our permission to copy our newsletters and copy our videos and copy our tape sets. And if you any way you possibly can, sometimes something that is said, you know, will strike in people's hearts. And I remember that wonderful poem, you know, upon one man's life it has fallen, the light that doth not depart, and a look or a word he had spoken wrought a flame in another man's heart. And maybe some word that you say or I say will impact on somebody's life for eternity. So just keep talking. That's the one important thing we do, and you speak very well.
Oh, well, thank you. I have to say this. You know, my sphere of influence at this time is not very large because I am housebound, but I do take wheelchair lift, and I happen to go at the time when Alex Jones is on the air, and I asked them to turn the radio on.
That's great, and Alex is doing a great job.
Dr. Wolf Jason, and I tell them to listen to your program, and I talk to them, and it's somewhat spreading just from that. So,
well, you can accomplish a great deal that way, and I appreciate so much you're plugging our program back there, and we're so grateful to Dr. Wolf for carrying us on the Sunshine Network.
Well, I'm grateful to God for Dr. Wolf and you and all of you that are in this fight.
God bless you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, we certainly want to mention also that for those of you who are shortwave, now they've really got things confused. We do the afternoon program from 3 to 5 Pacific or 6 to 8 Eastern at 9.430. And then, of course, right after our program, they switch over to 7.535. So my evening program, which is 8 to 10 Pacific and 11 to 1 a.m., 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., is at 7.535. So if you stay on this station, by me, if you change over to 7.535 immediately after my program, you'll be able to hear the Southwest Radio Church, Noah Hutchings. You'll hear Butch Paul, and that's at 7.535, and then we will be on an hour after Butch Paul gets off. So, but we're all working together, trying to get the information out, and please do tell others about my shortwave program, about Pastor Noah Hutchings' program, about Butch Paul's program, about Joyce Riley and Alex Jones' program. We're all working for the same goal. We're all trying to save America, and we hope that many of you out there will want to join us in this effort, because it is an educational effort. It's a spiritual battle, but we're called to educate people and understand, and I I came to know the Lord because I got involved in this battle, and I recognized the evil that was there. And I realized, logically, if there was this degree of evil, and the communism was inherently evil, I didn't realize it had been financed from the United States from its beginning, that we'd brought communism to China, we brought communism to Cuba, we actually financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. All of these things came as such a shock to me. And we're still financing Russia today. If you read the Wall Street Journal, they're always finding some means to give more money to Russia. And yet, of course, Russia's in full military production for war. Why would you do anything that foolish unintentionally? So help us get the word out. And of course, remember this program, 9.430. And then right after that, they switch over to 7.535, and you can hear Dr. Noah Hutchings, you can hear Dr. Butch Paul, and then if you stay on 7.535, why you'll be hearing Radio Liberty at 8 o'clock Pacific or Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, or 11 o'clock Eastern. Oh, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's program. Tape set, genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention a couple of the other things we carry. We do carry Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a wonderful game. And, of course, it's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And it's played just like Monopoly, and you get money and you get property and you go around the board. But in the process, you begin to learn how to think phonetically. You learn the sounds of the words, and you have to have a little, of course, cassette player, and it comes with the cassettes, and it tells you, you know, how basically to sound, whether it's an A-A or an A-A and an E-E or an A-E. And there are various sounds for all of the various letters, and the vowels have several sounds. So how do you determine it? Well, you get Phonopoly, most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600. This one is $139.95, and we recommend Phonopoly to you. What a wonderful way to teach your child how to read phonetically. And then we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and it's a program for homeschoolers. It is 22 CDs. You can take your child from grammar school all the way to high school graduation for $199.95. All of the textbooks are there except for the Saxon math textbooks. You want to get your child reading. You want to get them well-founded in the basic skills of reading, writing, arithmetic, rather than sex, which is one of the major things in environmentalism, and internationalism, which is what they're teaching our kids in school today. If there's any way you can possibly homeschool your child, and of course most of the work is done by the child, this program is designed so you don't have to put a lot of time in. It's a great program. Art Robinson is a personal friend. We recommend the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day and be on over 60 outlets every single week. That's radio, and that's internet, and that, of course, is satellite, and of course, shortwave. And it's an expensive proposition, but fortunately, so far, we've been able to hold our own and gradually expand our listening audience. And with your help and God's blessing, we hope we can continue expanding what we have, at least hold our own. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, don't be bashful. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, then give us a call there. Or if you want us to verify the things we talk about, why we send out a lot of clippings or information on a regular basis to people who really want to know what's going on. Now, if you really need to see my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or listen to the tape, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get all three together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We have a great new video. It's called Iraq, the Road to World Government. That's Iraq, the World Road to World Government. We have an older video within the last year, but it's Iraq, the Untold Story, that explains how all of the wars of the last century were totally contrived. And there's a syllabus that goes with it that's got a lot of original documentation you'll never find elsewhere, going into how the invasion of Okinawa and Iwo Jima dropping the bombs in Japan was unnecessary. It's an article we got from the Chicago Times that points out that the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 6 months. We wouldn't let them. Why? Because the dark spirits of forces that controlled our government wanted to prolong the war in Germany, wanted to prolong the war in Japan, because they wanted as much destruction and bloodshed and horror as they possibly could, because we're up against organized evil. And when you understand what we're up against, then it begins to make sense. Then those pictures you saw out of Abu Ghraib prison, they make sense. And, of course, the fact that why we've not been allowed to have sufficient personnel over in Iraq to maintain law and order, why they disbanded the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police force so that our boys would have to go in and die in the cities when it was totally unnecessary. And of course, we're contaminating the area with depleted uranium. A lot of the Iraqis are going to die of that. A lot of the American boys are going to die of that. Just as we only lost a little over 100 boys in Desert Storm back in 1991. But we've lost tens of thousands, at least 10,000, and some people say 30 or 40,000 since we came back. But they're not going to dare tell you that. You wouldn't want to know that they were experimenting on our boys, would you? If you don't believe that they have in the past experimented on boys, we have the Rockefeller Committee report. Came out of the Veterans Administration over the name of Senator Jay Rockefeller. We have that available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the Rockefeller report. You want to know about the satanic nature of what we up against? Get the 4-hour video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. It's a great video, and we recommend it to you. You'll actually see the performers, the rock star singers talking about how they've sold their souls for rock and roll, for pleasure, for sex, for popularity, and they die at very young ages because Lucifer claims their lives. And of course, a lot of them know this, and they're frightened to death, really, when they realize what they've done. So that's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You want to get our video, Megiddo. You want to get our video, Diaprax in the Church, the story of the church growth movement. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will pray for America. You'll pray for revival. You'll pray for our leaders and ministers. And you'll remember to pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Please remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.